To read Anne Lamott is to know Anne Lamott, or at least feel like you know her really well. She started out as a novelist and still is, but her big breakthrough came with nonfiction work. In 1994, at age 40, she published the book Bird by Bird, Some Instruction on Writing and Life. A humble title, given how many thousands, millions of people say that Anne Lamott inspired them to transform their lives. Her latest novel, the first in almost a decade, is called Imperfect Birds. I asked her about that title.
It's a important line in the book from a Rumi poem that each of us must enter the nest made by the other imperfect bird, which I really think means that when all is said and done, all we have to offer one another is a welcome in each other's messy nests and maybe a cup of tea while we're at it.
Now, Rumi, and you have joked in the past about your California new aginess.
Yeah.
You're one of the very few people who are both of it and can make fun of it.
Uh-huh. I know, but I think Rumi, is Rumi not like an East Coast guy?
No, not as much.
No.
I think you have to be in Marin County,
yeah,
really, to quote Rumi.
Ixnay on the Umi Ray.
So this is your third book about Rosie, the character whom you created at the beginning of your novel writing career.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you want to write about her again and now again?
Well, that's a good question. The second time I wrote about her, I had wanted always to write about my life as a competitive tennis player. I played tennis in tournaments in Northern California.
And taught tennis, yeah?
And then I taught tennis as a young adult and as actually an adult and still play. But when I had been a kid, I was under so much pressure to do well that I cheated for a whole summer. And it's a very interesting thing
to have
done. I cheated in tournaments, which is odd. I mean, because I'm such a nice person, I'm a black belt codependent, I want to help everyone, but I was cheating these little girls, you know, and taking points that weren't mine. And I'd always wanted to write about what happens to kids that have too much pressure on them and how it pushes them into shadow parts of themselves that maybe scar them. I felt it scarred me. But also the kids in our county, Marin, which is a wealthy enclave, are very addicted to drugs, and they're dying. And after the second kid that went to Sam's Public High School died of an OxyContin overdose, I was just saying to the kids, what's going on? Little by little, I started thinking, well, Rosie's a genius. She's a great student. She's brilliant in physics. She's taking all AP courses. She has this history of being a great tennis player, highly ranked. She wouldn't get into that. And she was raised by this wonderful mother. And then I found out I was wrong, that it's part of the zeitgeist, a word I have very, very little occasion to use. And so I just started interviewing girls, and I started to picture Rosie tall and buxom and beautiful now after early teenage years of being skinny and dwarfish and in Crooked Little Heart. And that's how it started with. And I wanted to see the effects of an addicted child on a marriage, because the important thing we usually with a mother and a child who's using is the mother so wants to be friends with a kid and have a great friendship that they do what they did when they were children, which was to agree not to see what's going on. So I wanted to see if Elizabeth could pull herself out of that and realize she wasn't there to be a friend.
Well, this thing you have of parents aren't there to be friends, and I couldn't agree with you more, is, I think, a corollary fact of starting with people our age who kind of refuse to grow up. We still try to imagine that, here, we're wearing blue jeans and sneakers at work. Have dreadlocks,
yeah,
speaking for one of us. And look, we're still young. And of course, that naturally bleeds over into, and these kids and their music, and they like our music, so we're just like them.
Yeah, I know.
It's a mistake.
Well, it's an illusion, but it's also based on really old patterns of trying to survive in crazy families, I think. I think that you learn really early on how to help the adults feel better about themselves. And the way you do that is you just don't see what a mess they've made of their life, what a total mess their marriage is. And by 5 or 6, in families where there's drinking, kids, hypothetically me, you're mixing drinks. I mean, I would bring people drinks. I was like a little marriage counselor. I had a caseload, had everything but a little clipboard. I was the one in the family that my brothers could talk to. I was my dad's wife. My job was to make sure dad kept coming home. I was my mom's counselor. What I learned to do was to kind of redo it in my head so it came out to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We asked our listeners if they had any questions for you, and many of them did, and we have one for you.
Okay.
From Anne Lequier, who lives in Washington, D.C., and She would like to know where you draw the line of privacy in your writing. What?
Well, that's a good question.
Won't you tell?
I don't tell the really juicy stuff about my life. I really don't tell anything interesting about Sam's life. I slapped him once when he was 16, and I wrote a piece about it for Salon. It's in Grace eventually. It's called Heat. Again, I write what I'd like to come upon, and if a very great mother had slapped her kid and had told me, it just happens. They look at you a certain way, and you're already at the end of your rope, and you lose it. It happens. So I wrote about that, and I showed it to him, and he handed it back to me and said, you can't run this because you make me look like the crazy one. And I said, I got it. And I worked on it again, and I got it just right.
Yeah. Bird by Bird is, I guess, your most popular book, and it's about writing and how you write and implicitly and explicitly how people might try to write themselves. It's been hugely inspirational for lots and lots of would-be writers and writers. In fact, I know a colleague who says you changed his life with that book.
He so owes me.
He does. Do you feel like a guru at this point for the last 15 years?
I've tried to be very clear and say, I really have nothing to share but what it's like for me and what I'm almost positive it's like for most of us, you know.
Yeah.
I think this is pretty universal stuff. But the thing is that what worked then is what works now. I never, you know, this Imperfect Bird is my 12th book, and I'm sure it's exactly the same with you. You don't sit down and go, God, I'm like somebody, I've had all these books published, keep, you know, hold me back. You don't, you feel like you go, oh my God, talk about beating a dead horse, and oh, I hate this, oh, my butt itches, oh, I wonder if it's cancer, oh, I wonder if Chris Matthews is on, oh, and it's so hard to keep your butt on the chair, and Bird by Bird can be probably summed up in about 3 pages. Keep your butt on the chair. You do it at the same time every day. You never wait for inspiration. It's ridiculous. It will never come. It's another way to keep you from writing. No one in your family is going to hope for you to be a writer. No one's going to be glad to hear you're writing and that you've decided to write a memoir. It's not convenient for anybody for you to write, and you have to do it badly. Everything that anyone has read that they love
started
began
out crappily.
As awful.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything I've written that anyone might think was helpful, it was 4 pages longer and very purple and overwrought.
So you're a Christian.
That
you're,
you know
you,
of.
You became a Christian at the same time you gave up drinking
and
pot
smoking?
No, I was
a Christian. I was a drunk for a year. I don't think I would have converted sober, but I was going to this little church drunk and not stoned, but hungover and just a raging mess. I heard this great line. Somebody just said that at the end of their drinking, they were deteriorating faster than they could lower their standards.
That's funny.
And I thought that's exactly what it was like for me because I kept getting it to be okay that I had a lot of blackouts and I had a lot of mornings where I just lie there and go, oh,
you,
God.
You published several, wrote and published several books successfully in that state.
I did, but I don't think they're good books. But I'm glad I wrote them. But at any rate, I started going to this little church because it had this heavy civil rights soundtrack, this kind of gospel-y 60s soundtrack. And it kind of snuck up on me. I had spent my life trying not to be a Christian because my father was a son of Presbyterian missionaries in Tokyo.
But both your parents were atheists.
Yeah. And not only atheists, but just so contemptuous. If you said you believed in God, I was like, okay, look, thank you. You know, we just... I had a best friend who was Christian Science, and I went there because I had something in me. It was an accident of genes. It probably was my grandfather's thing, skipping a generation. But I just always secretly believed. I never told my parents. My father died at 25 and didn't even know that I had this pursuit going on in me. But because I loved him so much, I tried to be anything but.
If this were 25 years ago and you were still drinking and getting stoned every day and all that, would your affect be different or are you the same? Would you come across as the same person you do now?
I think the best thing about getting older is that it's like editing your work, you know? It's like you start throwing stuff out of the airplane because it's just keeping you flying too low and you're tired of it.
But were you charming and funny and talkative?
Yeah, I was always this way. I was a very shy child, but I was also kind of the ham. At 6 and 7, something might happen on the blacktop, and I would be the one that the kids would look to tell them the story of something they had just collectively witnessed with me. But I could tell it in a way because I was a worried little person with migraines, and I paid attention.
Anne Lamott, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Kurt.
Anne Lamott's latest novel is called Imperfect Birds, and it is in paperback now.
The birds, they circle in the sky. Oh, the birds, they circle in the sky. they circle in the sky. For all of the blood red tears I've cried. Oh, the birds, they circle in the sky.